Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm so delighted to be here with you this evening. We have an amazing guest. My co-host, Dr. J.R. Thicklin, will be joining us momentarily, but we have so much great information to give you tonight. Without further ado, we have a guest, Anil Gupta. He's a best-selling author, an intuitive coach, and he's going to show and share with us some practical tips that we can use in our everyday life to be happy. Anil, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Barry. I'm very excited to be here. It was a pleasure to meet you at the event the other day.
Yes, we met at the event, Master the Mic with Les Brown, and you were sitting at the table and you had a book that you had autographed to give to Mr. Brown, and I picked it up being nosy because it was called Immediate Happiness. And I was a little stressed out at that moment. And I said, what is this about? And I started flipping through the pages, and I tell you, the little excerpts that I read, it just calmed me. And I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing because, you know, through the Soul of a Woman Foundation, my goal is to empower and inspire individuals globally. So you fit right in with what I'm trying to do. My slogan is reaching hearts and empowering lives. So what allowed you to write this book, Immediate Happiness?
So it was... 2008, I was on the verge of something, and I remember that moment really well. And I overcame that. I started doing events, six people, 10, 15, 20, 100, 1,000, eventually spoke in front of 10,000 people, spoke on TEDx, Harvard, Fox News, Sky TV. And then one day I was just sitting down and I thought, how did I do that? And I started thinking, well, you know, I should write a book. Who's going to read my book? And I thought, people need to know. If only one person reads it, it's worth it. So I started writing the book and eventually wrote it. And it was sat on my desk for one entire year. And then Dr. Valerie, someone said this to me, Anil, every day you delay publishing that book, someone is suffering. And you know, that applies to all of us. We all have some greatness inside of us, something amazing inside of us that can help someone else. And we have a duty to do that. I remember Les saying, you know, you should be ashamed to die if you're leading a mediocre life. And it's so true.
Yeah, and Horace Mann says you should be ashamed to die until you've made a contribution to mankind. So it is basically saying the same thing, but from a different perspective, because really we're all gifted to do great things. But do you believe that most of the depression that individuals face is because of the fact that they put so much expectations of somebody's perspective of who they're supposed to be?
That's a major part of it. As human beings, we have so many expectations. The more expectations you have for yourself and the expectations you expect others to have for you, the more painful your life will be. And, you know, a big part of the depression also is a self-worth issue, and also forgiveness. I call forgiveness the express pathway to freedom. The quality of your life is dependent upon the depth and authenticity of the forgiveness you extend to yourself and to others. It's a huge part of living a fulfilled life.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit. You said in 2008, you were on the verge of committing suicide. Do you know how many people, you know, get to that threshold where they're just about to do it, and then, you know, by some coincidence of somebody like pulling their curtail, they like say, okay, I can't do it? What was your aha moment that said, I have too much in me?
You know, I didn't feel I had the guts to do anything. I thought about it. Mm. I remember sitting up on a balcony on a mezzanine floor, and it was like 16, I was trying to work out 16, 17 foot down. And I thought, Anil, if I jump, maybe I don't kill myself. Maybe I get paralyzed, and that's even worse. That's the last thing I want. So then I'm talking to myself, thinking, Anil, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? This is crazy. Don't do it. You must be nuts. Even you can't even commit suicide. You're such a failure. That's what I was thinking. Mm. But, you know, I had to go and see my wife. She was in the hotel room at the time. And I looked at her and I said, honey, something really bad has happened. And she said, what is it? I said, honey, we've lost the cars, we've lost the houses, we've lost the school funds, we've lost everything. We're going to be homeless. And Dr. Valerie, do you know what she did? She had big brown eyes. She looked at me and she smiled. I was so confused. I was angry, frustrated, confused.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good combination. Not a good combination. And I said to her, what do you mean? Why are you smiling? She said, honey, I knew something was wrong. You've been acting strangely. And I thought it was something serious. And I said, this is serious. Getting even more frustrated. What's wrong with you? She said, no, you don't understand. Honey, I thought you were dying.
I don't know
about the money. I was shocked, Dr. Valerie. I was shocked. I said, I thought you wanted the money. She said, honey, have I ever asked you for money? And it was like a lightning bolt. I thought that's what she wanted. And ladies and gentlemen.
But here again, that's what I said. Expectations, individuals' expectations cause you to like derail emotionally.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're running around thinking that's what the other person wants. All you have to do is ask them. And all she said was, honey, I want to be with you. And you made one big mistake. I thought, oh, no, here we go. And she said, you haven't lost everything. You have me and you still have the kids.
Wow. What a great woman of God.
Isn't she? She is a beautiful angel. And that was like rocket fuel for me. Yeah. I was unstoppable. I started doing stuff, talking to people, giving. The secret to living is giving. I was alive and vibrant and joyous, and I'm an unstoppable inspiration machine.
Well, let me ask you this. When she said that to you, and you thought that she would basically say you're a loser and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, how important do you think it is for your mate to stand by you when adversity hits? And what advice would you give them when they don't have that?
You know, it was the most important thing to me. And if you feel you don't have that, be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person on the other side needs your love. They need your respect. They don't need to be beaten down. This is a time where you serve someone else to your highest capacity. You have to get out of your own way and let the goodness and greatness show to the other person what they mean to you. And it's such a big thing, especially with our children. You know, a lot of kids commit suicide because they yes. don't feel worthy. But if we're constantly reassuring them, especially when you're going through a divorce, because the kids are thinking, it's my fault. If I was mm-hmm. more lovable, they wouldn't be going through this divorce. So it's such an important aspect of people's lives.
Now, I named the show, Through the Pain, We Can Change. There is change through the pain. Now, I know through my own experiences, being homeless, four children, living in a garage, victim of domestic violence for 19 years, and trying to start over again. It was very painful. I didn't know what was my next, but I kept pushing because of the fact that the children needed someone and I was their only source. So that pain caused a shift for me. What do you recommend? Your book is Immediate Happiness. What are some steps that you can give, practical steps that you can share with the audience to cause that paradigm shift in their lives?
You know, the number one thing is to give. In the moment you give, all your pain and suffering disappears. And there is a formula for happiness, Dr. Valerie, which I have developed. And may I share it?
Sure.
Happiness equals G times G times G. The first G is you have to give. Your time, your energy, your love, your commitment, your joy, your gift, your money. Give it away. Not wanting anything in return. So it's a pure gift. It's not transactional.
Love is giving, not wanting or expecting anything in return.
Yep.
That's authentic love.
Absolutely. The second G is you have to be grateful for what you have and don't focus on what you don't have. So a lot of people are focusing, oh, I've lost this, I didn't get that, they've got this, I don't have that. But no. So for example, hold out your hands. When was the last time you thanked them?
Wow.
What have they done for you?
Wow.
What price would you give for them?
That is something to ponder on, because I know one of our speakers, Tawana Williams, she was born without arms and legs, and she walks and everything, but she was born without arms and she signs with her teeth and with her feet. And I was like, wow, you know, you don't know how blessed you are until you face or come upon someone that doesn't have the capacity that we have. And she has a book called Unarmed But Dangerous.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
And, you know,
and I like your heart shirt.
I've worn the same shirt for the last 7 years.
Wow. Do you get a lot of questions where people ask why you're wearing the shirt?
They do. And I'll tell you why I wear the shirt. So I have very bad dress sense. So when I leave the house, my wife would say to me, you cannot go out like that.
Do you change the color from black to maybe white or blue? Or is it always black with the red heart?
99.99% black. And then I thought, well, okay, I'm almost a grown man. I was like 55 years old. What could I do? I could wear a uniform. What would epitomize what I do? It would be a heart. So I thought, great, I'll put a heart on my sleeve. But then I thought, you know, that's a bit boring. No one would see that. Then I said, honey, what would happen if I put a heart on my shirt here? And my wife said no. My kid said no. That would look stupid. So, of course, I did it. And it was an instant hit. Now, when you take a photo with me, this will pop out. And it's just... And it makes my life so much easier because I know what I'm wearing tomorrow.
I like your trademark. I love your trademark.
It's so beautiful and it's simple.
Yes, it is. And you know, I like the simplicity of your tone. I like the simplicity of your book, Immediate Happiness. I love the simplicity of your dress because we put so much emphasis on our appearance and what we look to, we get distorted. And therein also begins the where children have peer pressures because they don't have the same clothes people have. They don't have the same shoes. If they don't have, I remember, you know, my kids were like, I need some Air Jordans. I mean, $100, $200 sneakers. I'm a single parent trying to make sure everybody eats. And you're uncomfortable because you don't have Air Jordans. It's the peer pressure that goes around. And I think also that causes children to act out in school, and it also causes them to be bullies themselves because of the fact that they feel that they're picked on. So they figure, in order for me not to be picked on, I got to show them I'm big and bad, and then they start bullying other kids. But how would you, what would you say to parents that have young children that are growing up in this society that we live in right now? How could you speak to them about going back to the basics?
With our kids, we taught them the distinction between need and want. Yes, you want a pair of sneakers, you want a pair of Air Jordans, but do you need a pair of Air Jordans? No. What do you need? You need air, water, fire, shelter. And keep it simple. That's what you need. And let's just be straight with ourselves. I know you want that, but do you need it? Mm-hmm. And the other distinctions are that we would teach them adversity. We would put them through adversity. A lot of kids today are brought up with an entitlement sensibility. And then there's a big a discord between the parents and the child, because when the parent has to talk to the child won't listen. They'll listen if they get something in return. So that's causing a big dissociation between parents and kids. And kids don't know how to handle adversity because they've never been put through adversity. I and my wife deliberately put our kids through adversity. And, you know, when my daughter was 18, we sent her around the world by herself. And Dr. Valerie, that was 10 years ago.
Wow.
And
You sent your daughter around the world by herself. How old was she?
She was 18, and that was 10 years ago, and we haven't seen her since.
You lost me.
She got lost.
She got lost?
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
I'm like, what?
And you know,
the happiness coach.
and you know, as we were sending her away, the movie Taken was coming. It scared us so much. But, you know, that's the adversity you have to throw at your kids. And the third G for living a fulfilled life and happy life is you have to grow emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally. So if you do those three G's, give, grow, gratitude, everything changes. And you know, the beautiful thing about this formula is, Dr. Valerie, when you look at the three G's and you're feeling upset or down or not in a good place, ask yourself, which is my lowest G? Do I need to give? Do I need to grow? Or do I need to be grateful? Once you do the lowest G, everything rises very quickly.
Wow. That's awesome. My co-host, Dr. J.R. Thicklin, will be joining us. I know he has a lot of questions for you. Good evening, Dr. J.
Well, good evening, and good evening. What a compelling story as I'm hearing here. This has been absolutely amazing.
You're such a great voice, Dr. J. Such a great voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm captivated by your story, as I'm quite sure so many are. And when we hear a person put a claim on happiness, that happiness become a priority, I think it changes the narrative, the way people think. Too often we just live to, you know, we live and life happens to us rather than living on the other spectrum where we make life happen.
Absolutely. It's not what happens in life, it's who you become.
Yes.
And, Dr. J, Dr. Valerie, people will give their happiness away for the smallest of things. someone cut in front of them. Someone said something. Someone did something, and your happiness is destroyed.
Right. And they put too much confidence in an individual, and they take away, you know, it diminishes their self-worth because they want so much to be needed by someone.
Yeah. And you know where the most expensive real estate in the world is?
Graveyard.
No, it's actually in Fort Lauderdale.
Where?
In between your ears.
Where? I'm here. Where is it?
In between your ears.
Oh. I love you, Anil.
Exist.
That's power.
That's where everything. So let me give you an example. So Dr. Valerie, if I said to you, I'd like you to rip your right shoulder off and give it to me, would you do it?
No.
It's a hell no. Excuse the word. Absolutely no.
Right.
But if I say something to you that upsets you, you gave your happiness away just like that. So how cheap is your happiness?
Wow. I love that analogy. And we do it every day.
Every day. And guess what? So let me give you another example. If I told you a joke, would you laugh? Yes. If I told you the same joke 100 times, would you laugh? No. But we replay things that happened in the past over and over and over again and again and again, and we never get bored of it.
So you're an intuitive coach. So how do you use your techniques to help individuals that are in relationships?
So I do a lot of interventions. People have something called a BS, a belief system, around something they believe. My wife doesn't like me. They believe my wife is so-and-so. They believe my husband is so-and-so. My husband is this. And when you, as human beings, when you believe something, human beings love to be right. So they'll find something to convince them that they're right. And we have a lot of attachments. The more attachments you have in life, the more painful your life will be. And I teach some mechanisms and tools. See, we were never given a manual when we were born.
Right.
And we have to learn from our parents who learn from their parents. And sometimes we say to ourselves, I don't want to be like my father. I don't want to be like my mother. I don't want to be like my family. So that's not the best way to learn. But if someone's guiding you through the entire process, everything changes. You know, we've been teaching our kids everything that we know, and we're also throwing adversity at them so that they can grow, knowing that they can handle any issue.
Right, because basically everything they are is learned behavior. We dictate their realities for them until they can embrace their own.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Valerie, I often see kids playing and the parents say in one sentence, Johnny, don't do that. You'll fall. It's not safe. Come here. One sentence, all the negative vibes. He's thinking the world is not safe. I'm going to fall. I'm going to hurt myself. I better be safe. We don't know, or we don't have the awareness around what we're saying to our kids. You know, the awareness gives us clarity. Clarity gives us focus. Focus gives us action. And action gives us results, which gives us momentum, which gives us everything. You cannot be joyous, you cannot be happy, you cannot be fulfilled without awareness. That's the number one thing we all need to work on.
Acknowledging where you are at the moment in time, because, you know, Les also says, wherever you find yourself in life, you made an appointment to be there. So that means that you took conscious steps to be where you are, to be in that situation. When I first heard that statement, I reevaluated my marriage. And I was like, wow, my biggest thing was the regret and forgiveness. I regretted I stayed in it so long, and then I had to forgive myself for allowing me to stay in that long, because I was like, what was I thinking? But you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. No, you know, you're looking out and you're just existing and not really living. And unfortunately, this has been going on even more, with the more intensity since we've been locked up with our mates. We're discovering things that seem new, but were reality all along. We just didn't realize it because we were passing each other in the wind. But now that there's nowhere to go, there wasn't anywhere to go. It's like, wow, this has been going on all this time, and you find out that you've changed and not matured, where one stayed the same and the other matured. So your expectations are always going to grow, and you desire and demand more.
Yeah. What happens is you get clarity, because you realize that I can't do this anymore. This isn't right. This isn't the way I wanted to live my life. I didn't get this far to get this far.
So are you saying, in essence, that oftentimes one of the keys to happiness is really having a short-term memory of things that have happened to you?
Well, it's not that you have a short-term memory. Is that you're willing to let it go. You're not holding on to it. You don't have the attachment to anything.
Well, so often when things happen to us, you know, there's a phrase that we call a defining moment, you know, and so often that when we can either own a defining moment that really might totally cause us to always see things from a negative, or we can recognize a defining moment like an epiphany, when it happens to us and we realize we see life from a different perspective. Because I think anytime we don't see value, I think that's when we kind of give away that space of happiness, when we don't see value. And if we value others' affirmation of us greater than we ourselves, it also diminishes our own sense of value. And so I think that it's a deep dive. It's a deep dive in finding reasons to love me that are not superficial, finding reasons to love me that is not based upon someone else's opinion. And I think that when we're able to do that, happiness is right at our fingertips. It's right there. Because I do believe that happiness is also a state of mind. It's a state of mind.
It's a choice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Most people react and they make something mean something. So, for example, in the past, if I call my wife and she didn't call me back, I made it mean she doesn't love me, she doesn't care for me, she doesn't respect me. But all that happened was she didn't call me back. But we make a story around a story, and we love stories.
Wow.
That's true.
And we often do that. Yeah, we always do that all the time. We fabricate, and we live in our imaginations.
All the time. We love stories.
And we do a good job of telling ourselves stories. You know, I just finished doing a seminar, and exactly what we're saying, you know, a person can say one thing and we fill in everything around it, right? Okay. We fill in all the things, and we begin to write it, we begin to tell it, we begin to imagine it. Before long, we become it. And so those are the strongholds that happens. And I like the way you put it, when all of it started from a thought. But we do know whatever you nurture, that's what grows. If I keep nurturing pessimistic thoughts, this is the worst thing. Oh, God, look at the whole world. Everything's coming down on me. When it rained, it pours. You know, we keep rehearsing all of those things there. And believe it, before long, there we go. We're just floating because we've been overtaken by the very thing that we continue to give life to.
Yeah, you know, we write our own stories, and we can create our own destiny just by the decisions that we make at any given time. Mm-hmm. And what I would ask your audience is this: what decision could you make today that would change the destiny of the rest of your life?
Very important.
It's huge. It's a huge question that we never ask ourselves, because we're comfortable as human beings. We're comfortable about being comfortable. And what we have to become is comfortable about being uncomfortable and uncomfortable about being comfortable, because that's when you get the biggest growth, is when you're uncomfortable.
Totally agree. I've often said that comfort is the enemy. Comfort and convenience is oftentimes the enemy of growth. It's the enemy of dreaming. It's the enemy of going beyond what we are. It is the reason we like the familiar. We like the familiar. We become comfortable with it. And anything that disturbs our comfort, then we think something is wrong, not understanding that it is the necessity of the disturbance of comfort in order for us to grow from where we are.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, when we're at school, it's uncomfortable for us. Then we grow a lot. And then after that, we don't do anything that's uncomfortable. So we can't grow. We stagnate. We lead mediocre lives. But it can change today by the decisions you make.
Hmm. So, Anil, I'm heartbroken. I've lost the love of my life. Maybe they passed away, maybe through divorce. How do I pick up the pieces and move on? How do I cause that paradigm shift in my thinking to allow me to get up out of bed every morning to move on?
You know, that's a great question. There is a secret. You have to get out of your own way. You have to disappear. When you disappear, your greatness appears. And you have to give. Do the first thing, give. And the moment you give, all the pain and suffering disappears. Then you work on gratitude. Then you work on growing. And then you rinse and repeat. You rinse and repeat. You rinse and repeat.
You know, that is that has some validity to it, because I, even though I was in pain, what caused me to have a shift was I started giving more and doing more for my children. I started reaching out to my family and my friends, and I started doing things or giving them things. Basically, I was like, here, I don't need it. I don't want it. You know, it served no value to me anymore, things, because, you know, when you find yourself homeless and you lose everything, Anil, you could probably attest to that, things don't matter anymore.
Yep. Yeah. We take on a new importance to the simple things.
Right. It's, do I really need that? Do I have to have that? You know, I was used to driving a brand new car every year, every 2 years at least. And then when I had to turn around and drive a Dodge Omni that was all rusted out and I could see on the floor, I was thanking God for that car, because it got me to where I needed to go. Things didn't matter. It didn't change who I was. It just changed what I had.
You know, say that again.
It didn't change who I was. It just changed what I had. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
I love that.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
And, you know, we put so much emphasis on things that, it, you know, even as adults, it puts a lot of pressures on us if we don't look a certain way, if we don't have our hair done, if we don't have our nails done. It's too much pressure when you have to actually focus on living your authentic life, because if you want to be involved with the individual, they need to know the real you, because you can only be a chameleon for so long. Right, Dr. J? I know you can attest to that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why authenticity is so important. But it's hard to be authentic when you have literally allowed yourself to fantasize. You've allowed yourself to absorb the imagery of being someone else. Well, that's where imagination comes in, because imagination could be both good and it could be also detrimental. Depends on how we allow it to be so. There are those individuals who have done so much to be someone else that they will never know who they are.
Wow.
They perfected being someone else. And so they can't give you their real authentic self because they don't know who that is. They've run from it. They're afraid, as Anil said, they're afraid to be, they're afraid to be, if you would, uncomfortable with themselves because they have deemed uncomfortable with meaning something is wrong. Something is not good enough. Something is not fulfilling. And so that their association with it makes them run to assume another identity, identity, who you are. Well, I just wish you found out who you were before you met me, because it would have saved me a lot of time.
Anil, what do you have to say about that?
I loved it. The universal truth.
Yeah. You know, everybody's different. And they have different personalities, just like you have children. Each child has a different personality, and trying to marriage those personalities can be a problem sometimes, but love, I keep like looking at that heart you have, love conquers a whole lot of disappointments, of pain. You love your way through it. And the only way you can love your way through to get to the other side is to forgive.
Yeah, it's so powerful. Forgiveness is the express pathway to freedom.
You got to forgive where you've been to free where you have to go. That was my second book. You know, forgiving where I was because what was before me was going to be blocked. It was going to be distorted if I didn't. Because if you make your life a mission trying to hurt that individual that hurt you, you wind up hurting yourself even more so. Because you lose precious time. You lose so many years, so many hours, so many days, so many minutes when you can focus on you and being happy and pulling back those layers of pain to allow the flower to blossom within.
Yeah, people don't realize the power of forgiveness. It's a huge weight off your shoulders. You can let go of the baggage. You'll have more energy, clearer. You're going to be more creative. Everything changes.
Everything changes. You don't know that it's a baggage until you've lost it. Now, when you do your coaching services, how can people find out more about the individual services that you have?
Okay, so what they can do is take the happiness test, which is www.mindsetisall.com. And it's, I think, 20 questions. And when you answer the questions, you'll get a score and it'll give you a breakdown of areas of your life that you need to work on. And if you want to reach me, my email is anil@meetanil.com. You can reach me there. And, you know, I work with families. I work with individuals. I work with couples to overcome any issues that they may be having so that they can lead a richer, fuller, happier life. When you work with me, I will add more years to your life and more life to your years.
Hmm. Wow. So, do you work more with couples or with individuals?
You know, it's a mix. Sometimes it's couples, sometimes it's individuals. But recently, I've been doing a lot more family work. And that's incredibly fulfilling because the parents don't get on with their kids or they don't get on with their grandparents or other siblings. So I can do interventions on individuals and put them all together at the end.
Okay. Do you feel that there's more trauma with the children that right now?
Absolutely.
Emotional trauma?
Absolutely. You know, the kids are confused, frustrated. They don't have communication skills. They don't have social skills. And the parents are too busy working or they're not invested in the kids like we were invested in our kids when we were young. And there are so many pressures on kids. There's so many pressures on parents. It adds up. It's a painful experience. It adds up.
You think it's because we're too busy being busy?
It's that, but also the way we brought up our kids, we give them iPads at the age of one so that the interaction with them is not personal. So then the kid is looking for constant stimulation.
Validation.
Yeah, all the time. And when they don't get it, they don't know what to do. I remember a time we bought a big box and it had a house in it. And we opened the box and guess what? The kids started playing with the box. I thought, this is great. So next time we just bought the box, no toy. And life was so much cheaper for us. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But yeah, we would cut up newspapers and use it as confetti on the kids. It was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. The simplicity of it all. We'd be trying to, you know, give these flamboyant gifts and toys when there's simple things. And, you know, case in point, like I have, when I have my grandchildren, you know, I have toys for them to play or they're playing at home. You could give them a plain little box and they're more entertained with that plain little box than they are with that colorful toy making all these noises and sounds. It's amazing to watch. And each one of them, I've seen them play with simple toys. We spend all this money and on Christmas times and holidays to give them the very best. And they wind up playing with the box and not what was in the box.
Yeah, it's simple. And then they become curious. And their creativity is enhanced. So they'll make stories, they'll do things, they will manage themselves so that when the parents come, they're not cranky, they're not upset, they're creative and joyful. And the kid and the parents don't have to constantly entertain the kids.
Right. But I definitely agree that the iPads and stuff does take away and it doesn't allow them to create social skills.
Absolutely. Yeah. You see kids everywhere. And mm-hmm. You know, parents are so happy. Oh, look at my 2-year-old. They can do this. They can do this. They can do this. That's nothing to be proud of. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be letting them be kids.
When I grew up, we had family dinner. We had family dinner every day. We sat to the table and we talked. And that's how we knew. About one another's love. I think it's a scarcity to see families sit together and have dinner every day.
Yeah, and you know, I used to ask my father, Papa, may I rise from the table? I would have to ask permission. So we were taught manners, and it's a great place to talk. And I have a beautiful exercise, Dr. Valerie. Can I share that with you?
Sure.
So we would sit around the dinner table, and I would ask my wife, what have you done today that no one has thanked you for? Then my son would thank my wife, my daughter would thank my wife, I would thank her. And then it would be my son's turn. And then it would be my daughter's turn, then it would be my turn. The next question I would ask is, what act of kindness did you perform today? It would be my wife, my daughter, my son, then me. What act of kindness did you see today? My wife, my daughter, my wife, my son, my daughter, me. What are you grateful for? My wife, my son, my daughter, me. What did you see? What did you notice today? Say, Dad, I noticed you picked me up from school. You gave me a hug and a kiss. I said, son, I'll always give you a hug and a kiss, even if you're 60 years old. And he said, Dad, not every parent comes. Not every parent wants to be seen by their kids. I said, son, I will always love you. And if any of the kids say anything to you, just say, my dad loves me. You see, the kids don't know what to say. And another question is, what was magical about today? and what was fun about today? And is there anything else on your mind? Now, the great thing about this exercise is this. Next day, my son, who was 9 at the time, he led the exercise. So he would ask the questions.
Interaction.
The 7-year-old would lead the exercise. So she has to be a public speaker. She has to be confident. She has to be strong. She has to be self-reliant. And she has to be able to command and be respectful to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
One exercise will change the family dynamic. And you can even use a similar exercise at work. You know, who hasn't been acknowledged for a project? Who needs something that they haven't been able to get? So therefore, it's a beautiful system that you can apply in your business life. And personally, I think the personal growth is huge.
So what I'm hearing you say is to create family exercises to keep one another engaged, and also that forges a conversation.
Absolutely, because the more interaction you have, the better it is. And then later on in life, the kids will come to you and discuss things because they're so used to it. It's not going to be a difficult situation. And I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to tell them off. I said, honey, okay, that's interesting. Let's see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that has been way too little of, I think you're exactly right. You know, we used to call the table, the kitchen table, used to be the family altar. It used to be yes. where meetings were. I come from a large family, and I used to tell the joke when I was very young, since there was 10 kids, my family was so large, we used to have to eat dinner in shifts. The first shift they ate, then the second shift they ate. But you better believe it, there was always conversation. I learned about my sisters and my brothers from being around the dinner table. I learned even who their friends were from being around the dinner table. I learned how they were doing academically in school from the dinner table. I learned those things. And quite frankly, they learned from me because there was always discussion. We live more today to avoid each other. We live today, most families, what I call plan avoidance. Plan avoidance. What do you mean? It looks like this. Go sit down. Go to your room. Go turn on TV somewhere. Go sit down, play with your iPad. Go. Everything is telling them to go, never to come. You don't inspect, you don't introspect, and you don't respect after a while because of the fact there's been no interaction there. So the song, "There's a Stranger in My House," may be applicable to everybody there because we don't interact.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to make it happen. Absolutely.
And it's a tragedy. And I'm sure that some of the listening audience can identify with this, but guess what? You can rewrite the script today. Whether if you're part of that problem, you can be the solution. There's some practical steps that you can do. Start, instead of trying to find a date to go out with, have a date with your family.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, have a date with your family, you know, sit down and talk puzzles, not the television, have a little puzzle where you can interact and talk, and, you know, dinner is always good. Have everybody in the kitchen together cooking. You know how many girls don't know how to cook, but want husbands.
Yeah, and, you know, when you cook, you all share. And for example, we play a lot of cards. So the mental agility is increased as well as having fun. And we discuss things as well, as well as we fight. But it's one of those things, you know, it's fun.
Oh, yeah. When the kids get together, they play this game named Uno.
Yeah,
you can Uno. Tell I don't know how to play it.
Yeah. We certainly started playing Monopoly Deal. Mm-hmm. That's a great game.
Yeah, I like Monopoly. But yeah, they play Uno and they just go back and forth. They have the little pads and stuff. So it is that. So you have to create an experience for them so that when you come together and when you disperse, that experience goes with them so that they can carry it on. And forge relationships in their families, et cetera, et cetera. It's a domino effect.
Well,
but it has to begin somewhere. It has to begin with you. So everyone is accountable for their own actions and their next level of increase, their next level of prosperity, their next level of mental health, their next level of love, their next level of peace. You're responsible because you're your greatest asset. So don't worry about someone's expectations or opinions of you. You have to be familiar and comfortable with you.
Well, definitely. That's saying a mouthful inside of that. But I just love the approach, because so often we talk about the family unit being the most important, you know, part of your life, the family unit. But it's not that just simply because of biological genetic sharing. It's that because of the memories that we create, the memories that we share together, those defining moments, those special moments, those moments that enlighten us, those moments that we may reveal things. You know, we're revealing things that we hadn't revealed before. Those moments when we do have that epiphany and I finally decided what I want to do with my life, or those moments I decided, listen, hey, I just got an offer. I'm traveling cross country. And those are moments. And I really think that even when we leave, and this is what I mean, you know, we get older and, you know, the family grows up, and like, for instance, Dr. Val and myself, our kids are all gone. They're in different places. And yet, yeah. Still, I know with my family, we...
Anil lost his.
What's that?
He lost his daughter.
Yeah, I heard. I heard. You know, but one of the things that I recommend, and we started doing it some years ago, is that, you know, we started having these monthly conference calls. Mm. And we want to increase those to weekly calls, at least, where everybody is on and we get a chance to share. We share the highlight of our week. What's happened this week? Oh, did you know this one got promoted? Did you know this one here was skipped? Did you know that, hey, someone's got a new job? Did you know, all those things. We get to applaud one another. We get to share in the celebration with one another. And by the same token, maybe it's something that didn't happen good. We could all stand together and lift that person in the side of the sense of emotional support. But if we don't talk, if we don't communicate, if everyone is kind of like to themselves, they rob each other of the power to make a difference with one another.
Wow.
I believe that we're always inextricably tied. We're always inextricably tied, and we're inextricably tied more than by DNA. But there is something about our interaction with one another that creates these memories that we will cherish forever, these memories. And we just have to be deliberate today. I think we must be deliberate and intentional about these moments.
That's powerful. Anil, how can individuals connect with you? I know you have two websites. If you can share them with the listening audience and what each website entails.
Sure. The first one is mindsetisall.com. And that's a way to find out what your happiness score is. You'll get a numerical score and some ideas on how to raise your score. And my website is meetanil.com. And if you want to get a hold of me, it's anil@meetanil.com. Easy.
Awesome. And how can they get your book, Immediate Happiness?
You know, this book, this actual book, this one I cherish, has been blessed by the Dalai Lama, but you can get your own personal copy from Amazon. It's also available on Audible, and it's available in Spanish.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, like I said, when we were at the Master the Mic training, it was on the desk, and I picked it up, and because it said immediate happiness, and I was like, what are you talking about, immediate happiness? And I started reading through the pages, and I was very intrigued. So much so that I said, I want you on our show.
I'm very thrilled. And you know, Dr. Valerie, there are two types of people. Ones that make you happy when you enter a room. Ones that make you happy when you leave a room. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And both of you, awesome. You know, you make people happy when you enter a room.
Well, I appreciate you for saying that and sharing with us, because there's so many people that are going through mentally. And, you know, I thought it was important also that you, you know, had entertained suicide in 2008, and look all of the accomplishments that you've made since then. You would have robbed us of all of this greatness. And that's why I thought it was even more so important, because look how much time has passed and the breakthroughs and the people's lives you've transformed. And I keep telling our listening audience, don't rob us of your greatness. Don't rob us of your glory. Don't rob us of your smile.
That's thank you. My heart is filled. Thank you.
Yes. And I appreciate you that you're still here and you're making a difference, and you're not just talking about it. You are doing it. And I give you applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. You're amazing people. I'm honored to be here. And I'm on a mission to serve. In the moment you serve, all the pain and suffering disappears.
Absolutely.
I think that's a perfect formula.
You can definitely move past the pain. But you got to press through. It's just like you have a headache, you take an aspirin. You're going through something, read something to empower and inspire. Their tapes, their audio. Neil said he has this book on audio. Their motivational speakers you can listen to on YouTube for free if you don't have the finances to purchase anything. Just to get yourself up. I know when I was homeless and think I didn't have any. I just had enough money to feed my family. Now I feed families because God has blessed me. So we have to serve, as Anil Gupta says. We have to serve, and serving is loving. So share the love. And I know those of you that are watching and have watched us every week, thank you so much. And we want you to subscribe to Hot Topics from the Soul YouTube channel. So if you would do that, that would be awesome. And then also we have a domestic violence hotline, 1-800-799-7233, if you're going through that. And if you're dealing with mental illness, it's 1-800-950-6264. There's so many people that are in distress. They said, we're coming out of the pandemic. But I believe it when they don't have any more COVID stands where they're giving tests and boosters and all this going on. Then I believe we're coming out of the pandemic. But until then, strengthen your minds, hearts, and spirit with positive stuff. And, you know, I believe in the book of books, the Holy Bible. So if you can't find peace there, you know, so, you know, just pray and ask God, what is your next? It takes courage to live life each and every day. It does indeed take courage. But as I said, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And those of you that are listening, pass this along to someone that it could empower and inspire them. Dr. J, you have any closing remarks?
Well, I just want to say that this has been absolutely incredible. And I want people to understand that life is seasons, and sometimes it's cyclical.
Ooh, yes.
And so we go through seasons, we go through cyclicals. But remember, you're not who you are, you're only who you become so far. So keep on walking, keep on moving toward, because you will find the authenticity of who you are, and you will discover your purpose. There's life after giving up. There's life after the storm. There's life after the adversity. And when we recognize that, we become a greater appreciator of life, and we begin to be dispensers of life. So continue to move forward. Continue to do so. Happiness is calling your name.
Anil, you want to close us out with a word?
Yep. I would say to you today, thank you. I would ask you to perform 5 random acts of kindness towards other people today, tomorrow, and the next day.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Good night, and God bless. And we'll see you next Tuesday on another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night, and God bless.
Good night.